To the next item, which is thousands of voices. Thousands of voices lift a shared agenda. A report from our advocacy and policy staff team, and we open this by recognizing that our staff really are just the messengers for and the coordinators for what the true advocacy team out there, thousands of you strong, make happen every day by being actively engaged in the policy agenda of blind Americans. And so these individuals have the responsibility of carrying out and helping to carry out the resolutions we pass, the priority for laws that we have set, and they're charged with advising the president and board on strategic direction for those things. The group works hard, and they especially work hard to be rooted in what all of you are doing. And as I emphasized in the presidential report, because so much of what we can get done happens at the local level with moving state level legislation, they help to train and coordinate the work that you all are doing in the affiliates. So I'll let our lead introduce the rest of the team. So here to present the advocacy and policy report is our executive director for advocacy and policy, John G. Parade. Voices matter, voices matter. It matters to you, it matters to me. Our voices matter, they matter. We're all part of this great melody. Like tone.
Thank you, President Riccobono. You know, if I ever get invited to another organizational convention and they ask me, how do you feel about 14C? You know, the National Federation of the Blind, in case anyone's wondering from another organization and they were listening, we're going to say we have always been, we are now, and we will always be against subminimum wages for people with disabilities. We're pretty clear on that. All right. CNBC recently began promoting the tagline, Live Ambitiously. Their website includes a video where each of their anchors and newscasters describe how their ambition helped get them to where they are today. I wonder how many people think about blind people when they think about living ambitiously. Do they think we dream about a good education, rewarding jobs, a welcoming home, and a family? Or are their expectations so low that they think we're happy just sitting at home, fighting inaccessible websites, applications, and technology? The Cambridge Dictionary defines ambition as a strong wish to accomplish something. That's exactly what I observe with the members of the National Federation of the Blind. We are determined to live the lives we want, and we are willing to work as hard as necessary to ensure that every blind person has that opportunity. This concept is not new for us. In his 1956 speech, Within the Grace of God, Dr. Tenbrook said, our access to the mainstreams of community life, the aspirations and achievements of each of us, are to be limited only by our skills, energy, talents, and abilities we individually bring to the opportunities. Not only are we individually ambitious, but we, the whole of the National Federation of the Blind, have collective ambition as well. One example is our efforts to pass laws and influence regulations that would improve opportunities and protect the civil rights of blind Americans. You'll be hearing more about our specific bills in a few minutes. On May 18th, Tony Coelho, father of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House from 1995 to 1999, published an article on website and software application accessibility. They said, "It's about time businesses embrace digital accessibility as a key brand imperative and took ownership of the role that web and software design play in the employee and customer experience. People with disabilities should have universal access to technology even as innovations occur." We could not agree more. We are working with Senator Duckworth and Representative Sarbanes to get the Software and Website Applications Accessibilities Act reintroduced in both the House and Senate, respectively. Regarding ADA Title II and Title III website accessibility regulations, the Department of Justice announced that the ADA Title II regulation was going to be released earlier this spring. And then they moved it to May, then to June, and it's still not out. They've also been working on the ADA Title III regulation. In fact, they've been working on these regulations since 2010. 12 years is long enough. We demand that the Department of Justice release the ADA Title II and ADA Title III website accessibility regulations now. On March 27th, Elizabeth Schoen, a member of the National Association of Blind Students, was traveling on JetBlue from Minneapolis to Boston. When she arrived at the airport, JetBlue employees refused to let her board her plane because she was traveling with a guide dog. They said there was a problem with her paperwork, but then refused to work with her to resolve the issue. JetBlue employees even mocked her when she took the initiative to call customer service. While Elizabeth did not travel that day, she did not stop advocating for herself. She reported the problem to JetBlue and filed a complaint with the United States Department of Justice. On April 27th, Al Elia, Justin Young, and I accompanied Elizabeth to the United States Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C., to meet with Blaine Werke, the Assistant General Counsel for the Office of Aviation Consumer Protection. Elizabeth told her story and reliving each dramatic moment. As a result of Elizabeth and so many others that have reported airline discrimination, we now have the attention of the Department of Transportation. Blind people traveling with guide dogs have the right to travel by air, and we will do everything in our power to protect that right. California's SB 581 is a bill that would dramatically impact our legal advocacy in that state. Tim Elder, the president of the National Federation of the Blind of California, wrote the bill sponsor with our concerns and offered edits to rectify the issue. At the last minute, the state legislature scheduled a hearing on this and other bills. We contacted Shannon Dillon, who coordinates our California state-level advocacy, and asked her to attend and speak at the hearing. Shannon dropped everything she had planned and went to the state legislature for the morning hearing. After several hours, the hearing was adjourned and until the evening. Shannon went home and then came back at 5 p.m. to learn that nearly 40 more bills would be discussed. She had to wait until 10:30 p.m. before offering her testimony. As a result of her perseverance and persuasive testimony, I am happy to report that California's SB 581 has been suspended. Scott White is responsible for our NFB Newsline service. NFB Newsline is the largest and most effective newspaper and information service available to the blind anywhere in the world. It is available via the telephone, the web, the NLS Digital Talking Book Player, the Victor Reader Stream, the Amazon Echo, and the iOS app. There are 577 publications, and some portion of NFB Newsline is accessed every 1.4 seconds. Recent editions include the Modesto Bee, the Bismarck Journal, the Hickory Daily Record, the Kiev Independence, and others. If you have not already used NFB Newsline, I urge you to sign up. Sean Seward is our manager of the Independence Market. He, along with our organizational technology group, is working hard to release our e-commerce system. In the meantime, you can browse our catalog online or order items by calling our main number. We have over 400 items in our catalog, including white canes, braille and audio watches, kitchen aids, measuring tools, and games. We also have NFB logoed hats, shirts, and jackets. If you don't have any of our logo wear, check out our catalog. United States Olympic gold medalist Jesse Owens once said, "We all have dreams, but in order to turn those dreams into reality, it takes an awful lot of determination, dedication, self-discipline, and effort." Our dream is a world where blind people can live the lives we want as valued and respected members of society. We will not let low expectations of blind people diminish our dream for an equal education. We will not let low expectations of blind people diminish our dream of employment and career advancement. We will not let low expectations diminish our ambition. When we encounter an inaccessible website, we will demand that it is fixed. When we encounter an inaccessible medical device, we will strengthen our advocacy. And when regulations hinder our opportunities, we will demand that they are changed. This work is not easy, but we are up to the task. Our resolve is steadfast, our determination is relentless, and our ambition is strong. We will work together with love, hope, and determination, and we will live the lives we want ambitiously. All right, here to talk about some of our other things, along as President Gabono said, our team is everyone in this room, everyone listening, and everyone who is a member of the National Federation of the Blind. When it comes to advocacy, it's all of us. We certainly are helped by three great government affairs specialists. The first one at one time was on the Hill, but now he's on our side of the table. Please welcome Jeff Kalock.
It's good to be with everyone here in Houston. The fact that you're here at this convention, the largest gathering of blind people, speaks volumes about what becoming a member of the National Federation of the Blind means by expressing our voices, contributing to the organized blind movement, and making progress each and every day. Houston is known for many things. The same can be said about the entire state of Texas. The saying goes that everything is bigger in Texas. Now that I've been here a few days, I have to agree. Let's keep that sentiment in line with our goals, to aim big with our policy objectives. The Access Technology Affordability Act support has grown enormously since it was introduced several congresses ago. With politics becoming more partisan, it's refreshing to forward a bill that is bipartisan, because accessibility isn't solely a Republican or Democratic policy, it's an American ideal. The bipartisan support is evident in its reflection of co-sponsors. In the 117th Congress, the bill had 165 House co-sponsors and 40 co-sponsors in the Senate. In the current Congress, the 118th Congress, the bill has been introduced by Representative Mike Kelly, a House Republican, with Representative Mike Thompson, a Democrat, as lead co-sponsor. In the Senate, the bill is sponsored by Democratic Senator Ben Cardin and Senator John Bozeman, a Republican, as a lead co-sponsor. The support for this bill has grown in other ways, too. It's legislation known by committee staff and recognized by congressional leadership. None of this progress would have been possible without our hard work and dedication to advocate for this legislation. Whether it be attending Washington Seminar, calling and writing your members of Congress, attending at town halls, and being active on social media, we made sure our voices were heard, and this bill has gotten the attention it deserved. We understand the importance of addressing the high cost of access technology that places far too many blind people at a disadvantage. Affordable access technology is often the determining factor to passing a class or applying for a job opening. It allows blind people to interact in the digital world that has now become a necessity for everyday life. That is why we must stay vigilant in our efforts by continuing to advocate until this legislation is passed into law. None of our advocacy would be possible without the ability to cast a ballot. How can we feel that our ballots matter if it cannot be cast both privately and independently? That is why we at the National Federation of the Blind have been relentless in our efforts to ensure that whether you choose to go to the polls or remain at home, voting can and must be accessible for all blind Americans. We need to continue to advocate for enhanced training at polling places. Poll workers need to be properly trained and equipped to operate ballot marking devices. We need to ensure that ballot marking devices are set up and fully operational from the beginning of Election Day. In addition, we also urge that more blind people become poll workers, thereby becoming involved in the election process. Since the pandemic, remote voting has increased significantly. Countless states have allowed voters without disabilities to cast their ballots from the safety and convenience of their homes. The same principles must be allowed for blind voters. 13 states permit accessible remote voting for the blind and print disabled by allowing blind voters to cast ballots through electronic ballot delivery and return. These states have worked with the security experts to ensure that this process is both accessible and secure. over 30 states have allowed for blind voters to request a ballot to be delivered electronically. While this helps in requesting and marking the ballot, the entire process is not accessible in it, as it requires us to still print, sign, and return our ballots by mail. We know there is a better way to provide security and accessibility because, as mentioned previously, 13 states allow electronic ballot delivery and return. These policies are more important now than ever. We face new challenges that impede our path to accessible remote voting. Relentless attempts from organizations trenched with ill-advised policies have provided state legislatures and governor offices with misguided and non-factual information about election security concerns regarding electronic ballot return. Attempts cloaked in fear rather than expertise. The baseless attempts has caused havoc, thereby stalling our efforts to provide electronic ballot return in numerous states. But the National Federation of the Blind has never been known to back down from a fight. That is why we are continuing our efforts to educate lawmakers and state officials about the practice that can be put into place to ensure election security and enhance accessibility. Everything we have worked for is on the ballot in 2024, and we will continue to advocate until every blind voter in the United States can vote with the same ease of use as voters without disabilities.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Sometimes we like to refer to our next speaker frequently as the smartest guy on the government affairs group. He has an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctor of education. Please welcome Dr. Young.
The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines progress as a forward or onward movement to an objective or goal. Over the past year, we have made progress in the areas of non-visual access to medical devices, accessible prescription labels, and ending the payment of sub-minimum wages. On March 1st, 2023, Representative Jan Schakowsky from Illinois, along with 32 initial co-sponsors, introduced H.R. 1328, the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act. The bill authorizes the FDA to adopt non-visual access standards for Class 2 and 3 medical devices with digital interfaces. Some examples include continuous glucose monitors, insulin pumps, and CPAP machines. By adopting these new non-visual access standards, it would ensure we are able to independently, safely, and accessibly operate our medical devices. Between the months of March through May, as a direct result of our hard work, we have gained an additional 16 co-sponsors, bringing the current count to 48. This is significant because for the 117th Congress, which was a two-year cycle, we had a total of 65. I know we can and will meet and exceed that number in the 118th Congress. We are working diligently to ensure there will be a companion bill in the Senate this Congress. Along with having access to medical devices, we must be able to independently correctly identify prescription medicine. Several affiliates have done work to ensure that pharmacies are required to provide accessible prescription drug labels. In 2023, the states of Maryland and Hawaii passed laws mandating that prescription drug labels are non-visually accessible. Additionally, the state boards of pharmacies in Washington and Florida are working on regulations to adopt guidelines for accessible prescription labeling. Furthermore, Tennessee, which passed a law on accessible prescription labeling last year, has begun the implementation process. Along with making progress on accessible medical devices and prescription labeling, we are also making progress on eliminating the practice of sub-minimum wages, both at the federal and state levels. On February 27th and 28th, 2023, the Transformation to Competitive Integrated Employment Act was introduced in the United States Senate and House of Representatives, respectively. The Senate bill is S-533, and the House bill is H.R. 1263. This bill will phase out over a five-year period Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act, ensuring we have the right for a fair wage. It is time to eliminate this antiquated and discriminatory practice. In addition to the introduction of the Transformation to Competitive Integrated Employment Act, the Ability One Commission adopted a policy that went into effect on October 19, 2022, which prohibits subminimum wages on Ability One contracts. At the state level, there has also been progress on eliminating subminimum wages. On April 12, 2023, the Virginia governor signed HB 1924, which phases out subminimum wages completely by 2030. Making it the 17th state to eliminate or limit the use of subminimum wages. There have also been efforts in Minnesota, Illinois, and Kentucky to end subminimum wages over the past year. It is time for us to earn a fair wage for the work that we perform. With the strong determination of the National Federation of the Blind, we will achieve our goal of living the lives that we want and be valued and respected members of society.
All right, thank you, Justin. All right, and our third of the three government affairs specialists is former president of the National Federation of the Blind of North Dakota, and then was doing outreach on our Newsline team, but now we have him doing trips to Washington, D.C. Here is Jesse Shirak.
My path to the national stage has been a journey of discovery, of risk, and of reward. I've served in many capacities in the National Federation of the Blind, including serving on the National Scholarship Committee and as the NFB of North Dakota affiliate president. My dreams came true when I was invited to join the national staff in 2021. Advancing our NFB Newsline program, let me take you back to my first job, delivering newspapers in North Dakota. I was age 12. Yes, believe it or not, people used to deliver newspapers. What do you think is the biggest struggle for a blind person, delivering a newspaper? I bet you can't guess. Do you think it was the biting 30 below zero cold? Mm-mm. How about trying to keep your eyes open walking a mile at 5 a.m. every morning? No, not it. The hardest thing is coming home and watching your father read the newspaper that you just delivered. You're separated by those pages, and you can't read the words on the page because you're blind. As a young blind person, there were many things I thought out of my reach. I did not believe that I could hold a job at a restaurant, give a speech, graduate from a university, convince a congressman to co-sponsor legislation, and I did not believe that I could downhill ski. But I've done all of these things and many more. Each milestone I conquered involved a risk, physical or emotional. I was terrified starting out. And in some cases, the first, the second time, I failed. Let me tell you about learning how to downhill ski. This activity involves a risk. In my case, more to other skiers than myself. If you've never skied blind before, you're matched with another person, hopefully an advanced skier, to be your eyes and give you instructions like, turn left, turn right, slow down, stop, stop, stop. When I started out, I skied the beginner hill for a half hour. I was feeling shaky and nervous. We went up the ski lift to the intermediate hill. What could possibly go wrong? My first run, gravity took over. I slid under the orange fence that was meant to keep me out of the trees. I got up, brushed the snow off, and made my way down the hill. I gave it a second try. On the next run, my guide told me to turn left. I turned left. I sensed somebody in front of me. I shifted right. I felt two bumps under my skis. I realized I just ran over somebody's skis, and I hit the ground. I sat there shocked. I then heard a familiar voice say, "What was that?" Her ski guide, Dale, responded, "That would be your boyfriend." My now wife, Sherry, in her infinite wisdom, said to her guide, "Dale, you have to teach him how to ski. His ski guy doesn't know what he's doing, and he's going to kill somebody." With Dale's good instructions, soon I was skiing from the top of the mountain. Thank you. With good instruction, soon I was skiing from the top of the mountain. Sorry. I share the story because I want to remind us there's no reward without risk. It's always important to get up when we crash. And most of all, be careful who we trust to guide us. If we want to find success as a blind person, we need to look within our Federation family. Reach out, ask for help, and be guided successfully down the mountain by a fellow Federationist. Each person in this room guides government affairs as we ski our legislative priorities down the mountain. We share what issues are important to blind people. We share personal stories. Legislation is crafted based on the collective experience of our movement. And our leadership formulates a plan. By now, you may have guessed that I've traversed my way from NFB Newsline to government affairs. I have two major areas to move.
autonomous vehicle legislation, and Social Security. We will get the Blind Americans Return to Work Act introduced into Congress. This legislation, as we know, affects blind people who receive Social Security disability benefits. Currently, there's a limit to the amount of money that a blind person can earn each month before you completely lose benefits. This is called Substantial Gainful Activity, or SGA. We refer to this as the earnings cliff, because we, as blind people, are harmed by the earnings cliff if we fall off. For example, if a blind person receives $1,000 in disability benefits, you'd lose $12,000 in earning potential. That's what it looks like to fall off the earnings cliff. Blind people are limiting our opportunities because we don't want to fall off the earnings cliff. Our movement wants to make working less risky for blind people. We are asking the government to eliminate the earnings cliff. We propose a two-for-one phase-out. For every $2 of income that a blind person earns after SGA, you would give back $1 of benefits. We would gradually be moved down the hill to full employment without the need for benefits. When this legislation is introduced, we'll hear about it through our many channels of communication. We will call on the organized blind movement to contact our congressmen and senators to ask them to co-sponsor our legislation. I want to encourage each of us, take some risks in our lives. Help the National Federation of the Blind with our advocacy efforts. We cannot expect the future to change unless we're willing to change our beliefs about question what is possible, try something new, push harder. We have a strong voice. Our voice matters. I challenge each of us, change our future. Push forward our priorities today. Thank you.
Thank you very much to our advocacy group here. Now, as a supplement to this report, we invite many dignitaries to come to the convention, and you know, we get a lot of people who turn us down for various reasons. We have a long-standing tradition of the President of the United States telling us that they can't come. one of these days. But because of some of the things that the team has discussed here, especially related to the airlines, we did have Secretary Buttigieg at our convention, one of our virtual conventions. He was not able to make it to this convention, but because of the issues we're having, specifically with the airlines, I told the secretary's folks we would accept a video from Secretary of Transportation. And in the video, he responds specifically to a question that he was asked at the virtual convention, live by Raul, who's president of our guide dog users division. And he references a number of other things, so I think the video is worth giving to you. Here's Secretary Buttigieg.
Well, thank you, President Riccobono, for that introduction, and thank you to the National Federation of the Blind for inviting me to share a few words with you today. Over 80 years ago, this organization was founded with a simple goal: to defend the inalienable rights of blind Americans and to advocate for this community in the strongest terms and at the highest levels. For the better part of a century, you have done exactly that, helping to usher in some of the most meaningful reforms our nation has seen when it comes to accessibility. I'm grateful for your work and for your voice. Last time I addressed this gathering, 2 years ago, we were in the middle of fighting for President Biden's historic infrastructure package. Today, I'm pleased to talk about how that package has become law and that we and the Department of Transportation are working every day to deliver those resources and make our infrastructure safer, cleaner, and more accessible for all. For example, last December, we announced nearly $700 million in grants for the first round of our All Station Accessibility Program, or ASAP. In addition to ramps and elevators, these grants have included funding for better audio announcements, tactile warning strips, and route identification devices to make sure that blind and low vision riders can get around more easily and safely. We've also awarded billions in funding to airports across the country to improve their terminals, including major accessibility upgrades like audio beacons, better signage, new paging systems, accessible restrooms, and so much more. And last summer, we officially adopted a new set of disability policy priorities to guide our work. Work that includes everything from improving our data gathering to strengthening our enforcement of key legislation to advancing diversity and accessibility in our own workplace. The first of those priorities is ensuring safe and accessible air travel. We've made some significant progress on that front, from releasing a Bill of Rights for airline passengers with disabilities to beginning to lay the groundwork for a new rule that will allow passengers to stay in their personal wheelchairs when they fly. This is meaningful progress, but I know we still have a lot of work to do. The last time I spoke to this group, I heard from one of your members in powerful terms about the challenges associated with bringing guide dogs on flights. And I know that since that conversation, members of our Office of Aviation Consumer Protection, OACP, have met and spoken with some of you as well. I want to personally thank you for sharing those experiences with us. I understand that the OACP has also helped set up a meeting with Airlines for America to discuss this issue, and we will continue to carefully review complaints filed by service animal users and hold airlines accountable if they fail to live up to their responsibilities. As I said last time, I will carry the stories and experiences you have shared with me as we continue this work, and our team will continue working with you to address this important issue. This month marks the 33rd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And for all the progress that we've made since then, it's also the case that today, a generation later, we are still fighting to live up to some of the promises that were made back then to ensure that transportation is truly accessible to all. Our work is far from over, but we've come a long way, and I am grateful to be doing that work alongside all of you. Thank you again for your partnership, your advocacy, and your commitment to a better future. I hope you enjoy the rest of this convention.
We appreciate the acknowledgement of the Secretary. We know we have more work to do, but we are glad that leadership at the highest levels of the Department of Transportation are paying attention to our issues.